Now it's time for a TARDIS break.
Yes, hello and welcome along to the TARDIS break. We are back and we are in a different format this time. We are doing fully fledged proper episodes. Now, it's going to be a bit of a big one today. So far, we have 5 episodes of Doctor Who to talk about, the Christmas special, and then 4 episodes of season 2 now. I always lose count. Now it's basically season 15 and 2 and 49. It's very confusing. And I am joined by fellow Doctor Who aficionado, Natasha Aspel. Hello, Tash.
Hello.
So, wasting no time at all, let's get right in about it. The first episode we are going to be talking about today is the Christmas special 2024, Joy to the World. Tash, what did you think of it? Personally, I loved it. I thought it was refreshing. I loved certain elements, but we'll talk a bit more about that later. I want to know what you thought.
I really liked Joy to the World. I thought it was a really strong Christmas special. Probably one of my favourites. I thought it was just really creative, and I really liked the concept of the Time Hotel.
Yeah, it was such a creative concept, wasn't it? I mean, it's one of those things in Doctor Who that you kind of wish existed in real life. Like, obviously, there wouldn't be able to be time doors that teleported you back to that certain era of time. But maybe if there was a hotel where each room was a different era, I think that would be really, really cool.
I really enjoyed seeing people from different time periods and places interacting with each other. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, no, period costumes are really sort of a key part of Doctor Who. It helps you feel immersed.
Yeah.
In the episode, I found.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, this episode continued a trend we've seen quite often with Doctor Who Christmas specials of having a singular companion for one episode.
Of course, this time,
it was Joy, played by the wonderful Nicola Coughlan. What did you think of Joy?
Well, I thought Joy was a really sweet character. I really liked her. Of course, I really liked Anita as well. I thought Anita was a sweetheart, and I really hope we see Anita again because I really enjoyed her character.
Yes, Anita was brilliant. She was played by Steph Diwali. For anybody who doesn't know, her role was sort of like a hotel manager who became a close friend of the Doctor as he stuck at her hotel for a year. And I really think they developed such a strong bond. I mean,
yeah, they had a good bond.
Anita was so seemingly ordinary, but she was just perfect. I think we really do need to see her again. It feels like there's more to be explored there. She feels like she could be a bigger part of it. What do you think?
She really did. I think if we do see her again, most definitely she'd have to be a companion.
100%. Now, we've talked about what we did like, we've talked about the companions. Now it is time to get into the nitty-gritty. What didn't you like about the episode? For me, there's only one thing. I didn't like how the Silurian...
Oh, you mean Melna?
...who was used in all of the promos for the episode and made to seem like he would be a big part of the episode, was only in it for about 3 minutes.
He did die far, far too quickly.
What did you dislike about the episode as a whole, though?
That's a tricky one. There wasn't really anything I didn't really like about it. It is one of my favourite Christmas specials now, and I was really looking forward to a Christmas special, as I always am.
I mean, who isn't? A Christmas special is a staple of Christmas Day. When we didn't have it for the few years, it was dark times.
Exactly. It's just part of Christmas. I love it. I love, you know, after opening the presents and having that amazing meal, just to watch something that my whole family enjoy, it's really special to me.
It is a special, like, family bonding time. But we went off on a bit of a discourse there.
We did, but there's nothing I can think about that I disliked. I genuinely loved all of it, and, like, it went really fast when I was watching it, and that shows that I really enjoyed it, because if I'm finding something a bit, it's bad, but I check my phone a lot to see how much is left. But there was none of that. I really, really enjoyed it.
Now, I want to ask something, and I'm really sorry if it offends you.
Of course not.
But
go ahead.
Obviously, this episode of Doctor Who featured quite heavily religious aspects that we haven't seen before. As a person who is religious, how did you feel about how that was represented within the episode?
From a religious person, I really liked the whole Joy was like the star to Bethlehem. I thought that was really sweet. And it, from someone who is religious, it did mean a lot. Obviously, I know to people who aren't religious, not going to have that sentimental value to it. But I think it is a really nice concept for them to fit in.
Because I do think it helps people remember what Christmas is sort of about as well, because that seems to have been forgotten a bit, you know.
Yeah.
Now, looking ahead, very far ahead currently at the moment, Doctor Who, currently not confirmed for a season 3. Do you think there might be a Christmas episode for 2025, or will it go on a bit of a hiatus?
I really hope there'll be another Christmas special. I really enjoy Christmas specials. It's like, as we said, a chance for the family to come together. So I do think there will be one this year. But at the end of the day, who knows? It's up to Disney, the BBC and Russell. But I really hope there is another special coming up this year.
Well, from talking about Christmas specials, we are going to have a piece of music now. Tash, do you want to guess what Christmas special the piece of music might be from?
Is it from the 11th Doctor episode, Christmas Carol?
It most certainly is. Here is Abigail's song, composed by Murray Gold, being sung absolutely beautifully by Catherine Jenkins. Abigail's song there from the 2011 Doctor Who Christmas special, A Christmas Carol, starring the late, great Michael Gambon as Kazran Sardik. It wasn't an exact word-for-word copy of Charles Dickens's novel, but it was pretty, pretty close. Now, moving on from the Christmas special, up next, we are going to be talking about Doctor Who Season 2, Episode 1.
Clans match initiated.
Belinda! Belinda!
So what's your name?
Just the doctor.
All right then. I'm called the nurse.
You will surrender.
What have you done?
I'm sorry.
There we heard the teaser trailer for the episode. It was called The Robot Revolution, and we can talk about it freely now. It aired quite a while ago. I absolutely loved it. Tash, what did you think?
The Robot Revolution was really good, and I think it was a really good introduction to Belinda. I really like Belinda as a character. I think she's a great companion. It's something just so different about her, and I love it.
Yeah, see, straight away in this first episode, she's felt like a stronger companion than Ruby. I loved Ruby as a companion, but she just felt stronger. She seemed similar to me to, like, Martha and Donna. You know, that cattiness, that not allowing herself to be bossed around by the Doctor.
Don't get me wrong, I think every companion at one point has told the Doctor when he's in the wrong. And, you know, they can all stand up for themselves, but she's not afraid to do it. She's not afraid to hurt his feelings to do what's right. I think she's got a really good balance of being nice and, you know, really caring for others, but also standing her ground, knowing what's right and what's wrong and standing up for what she thinks.
So if I was to ask your honest opinion on her, then I think I know what you'd say, but just, you know, hear me out, say it. Just so everybody else at home knows.
Yeah, so I think she's great. I think she's really funny as well.
Yeah, she is coming into that classic companion trope. So, thinking about the episode as a whole, how did you feel about it?
I mean, of course, I really liked the episode. I thought it was really interesting. You know, it was kind of like, I can't look away because I don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, I was really like, where's this going?
Yeah, like, it's one of those episodes you don't know the next turn it's particularly gonna take. Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, when everything dropped, like, when we found the answer, I was like, that makes sense. I need to rewatch it to see if there's any things that tell me really obvious about how it was going to end.
Ah, so, like, if there's any little clues dotted throughout.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I do think, clues-wise, the episode was quite light, and there was a trick villain, you know, the people we thought were going to be the villain, the robots, they weren't.
Yeah, and the robots as well really reminded me of the robots in that Sarah Jane episode where Clyde and Rani were on the Earth by themselves.
Oh, yeah, no, I know the one you're on about. I think is it called The Empty Planet?
Yeah, that's the one.
Where there's the other boy, Gavin, around as well, and they have to, like, work out what's happened to the human population and stuff.
Yeah.
No, I can see that. They were quite similar, actually. Maybe that's a Russell thing.
I know they weren't the same robots, but it did remind me of them. Yeah, again, really strong episode. The characters were strong. Mrs. Flood living next door.
Yes, no, seeing Mrs. Flood being her neighbour, I liked the callbacks to how in the first episode she was like Ruby's neighbour as well. How did that make you feel?
I was be like, okay.
Obviously, it was a very strong doctor orientated episode, but there was also a lot of side characters. What did you think of them?
I thought it was really strong. I really liked the side characters. I thought they were really nice. It was devastating that so many of them died.
Now, as well as the characters, one of the main plot points of the episode was based in and around misogyny and misogynistic views held by a male. Now, obviously, this is something that's viewed very differently depending on if you're male or female and when you see portrayals of it in the media. How personally do you think it was handled within the episode?
I think the misogyny was handled really well in the episode.
And obviously the main driving force behind that misogynistic movement was Alan Budd, who became the AI generator, or the AL generator. Now, he was depicted as quite a controlling figure within his relationship with Belinda. How did you feel about this domineering character?
Ooh, I just so wanted to punch that character in the face. it was... But I think it was handled really well, and the whole... how he died and stuff like that was hilarious, I think. I think it was very smart how they handled it in the episode. I think the writing was spectacular on that.
And obviously, in terms of ranking, we've had two series openers as part of RTD2, Russell T. Davies's second era as the showrunner on Doctor Who. Where do you think this stacks up against season one's opening episode, Space Babies?
I personally think it was a lot better than Space Babies as an opener episode. Don't get me wrong, I did like Space Babies. I do think it is overhated as an episode, but I think this one, The Robot Revolution, was just a lot stronger of an episode. You know, it had people like really wondering what's going to happen and like holding to the edge of their seats, and I just don't think Space Babies had that. I think as a starter episode, Space Babies put some people off, but I think it was a lot stronger this season as a starting episode. I think it was a really good starting episode.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. It was a far better starting episode, yeah. A better introduction to what Doctor Who should be. And I think if this was at the start of season one, Shooty's era would be getting less hate than it is currently getting, because I don't think it deserves any of the hate it's getting.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get that's what happens when there's change, which is an odd thing to say, because in Doctor Who, obviously, there's always change.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Here we are. So, we are approaching the 20 minutes in point of the show today, and we have talked about 2 out of 5 episodes. We will be coming back to talk about episode 3 right after this. This is going to be 15's theme. We'll be right back. there you had 15's theme, or as it is just called, 15, composed by Murray Gold and being played by Kieran Berry and the National Philharmonic Orchestra of Wales. And I do love that theme. I hope we hear a bit more of it soon. It was in season one quite a bit, but it hasn't really been in season two. Now, on to season two, episode two, the episode so many were waiting for, the episode simply called Lux.
We're in Miami.
Question is, who chains up the cinema?
15 people went missing, just disappeared.
What happened? Ta-da!
The teaser trailer there, and here is the part that had everybody sat up listening.
Are you supposed to be a man?
Don't make me laugh.
You've got a nose like a pig.
Don't make me laugh.
And why are you blue?
Don't make me laugh.
Wait a minute. Is there a reason we shouldn't be making you laugh?
And what could that be, sir? Don't spoil my surprise.
Tell me. Who are you?
Don't make me laugh. Because it sounds like this.
Harbinger.
What does that mean? Who is he?
The cause of chaos have harbingers.
And I am Lux. Lux Imperator, the god of light. I am the dazzle of the heart of the Pantheon. I am the glint in the eyes of the mad. I am the last thing you see before you fall into the abyss.
Yes, there it was, where we found out Lux was a god of the Pantheon.
I've got chills listening to it again.
Me too, honestly, me too. Let's get in to talking about the episode. What did you think?
So, where do I begin? Because I really love this episode. I think it was visually beautiful. I really thought the animation style, like having the Doctor and Belinda like animated, it was beautiful. It genuinely was. And the storyline was so good. I could not guess what was going to happen. I thought, again, it was really creative. The writers for this season are amazing.
I 100% agree. Everything this season has felt so new and fresh and creative, and I think it's been the perfect breath of fresh air that was needed, you know, after some of the writing we've had in previous seasons, not last season as such, but some of the writing we had in Jodie's era.
Exactly. Everything is so creative. You don't really know what's going to happen. There's so many unsolved questions that I'm really hoping we're going to find at the end of the season. This episode was amazing. I really like how it was just so different compared to anything we've ever seen in Doctor Who before, or actually in anything I've ever seen.
Now, a bit earlier on, we played the scene in which everybody was sort of waiting for, the scene that made everybody sit up, the scene that made me realise I'd accidentally made a Whovian of my mum, because she sat up, bolt upright from looking at her phone, pointed at the screen and said, "He's gonna be something to do with the toy maker." What kind of effect did that scene have on you?
He started laughing. I was like, well, my whole family, we all just gasped at the same time.
It was one of those shock sort of moments. Obviously, before we knew he was Lux, he was a lovable cartoon character.
Yeah.
What did you think of Mr. Ringerding?
I really liked Mr. Ringerding, but he was a really strong character. I know some people are a bit like, on it, but I personally think I think he is a strong character, and having something not the kind of like the adipose, like something that looks cute be actually so dangerous. It really plays tricks on your mind, and I think it's actually a really good concept of having something that you think could never hurt you be really dangerous. And that song will forever be in my head.
Yes, his theme song Shall we give it a little listen for those at home?
I don't see why not.
I'm Mr. Ring-a-Ding, I make your heart bell sing. Please don't make me laugh, just take my autograph. Now take my jokes, my lovely folks, cause I know just one thing. For I am he, oh yes, I'm Mr. Ring-a-Ding.
What a fine and dandy day.
I think it's brilliant that they were able to capture, like, the essence of classic 1930s golden era animation there with that song and also with his style.
Definitely 100%. It felt like he was a cartoon come to life.
It really, really did. Now, it wouldn't be right to talk about this episode without talking about that scene. And if you've seen the episode, you'll know the scene I'm talking about. But there was a very meta scene, wasn't there? What did you think about the Doctor interacting with the fans of the show?
The fan scene is something that I'm a bit... I have mixed feelings.
How come? Did you not like it? Or
it's not that I think it was bad, and I think it's cool that they added that. I don't really know how to explain it. I think the concept is good, and, like, as a child I've always wondered, what would happen if the Doctor came, like, went somewhere and people knew about him? And I, like, you know, they were like, Blink's my favourite episode, honestly. Blink is an amazing episode.
Blink is an amazing episode. It's only topped, I think, or equaled by the next episode we're going to talk about in a bit. And you're right, it captures the, like, childhood essence of... We've all, at one point, sat at home watching the TV thinking, what would happen if they could see us or if they could come through, you know? Now, look, it was a scene that divided people. It was. Some completely hated it. Some had some changes they'd make. You're a bit unsure about it, but are there any changes that you personally would like to make to it?
I kind of wish they went a bit more into it. My personal feelings, I think, would actually be if they didn't quite know that, well, when the Doctor goes back, that it would be the end. I think that would actually be a bit more tragic.
So if they were there and they got to meet their idol and then they didn't know they were going to die when it went back, it's a bit sad.
But I'm really weird. Like, I quite like the more sad factors and stuff like that. But overall, I really, really liked it, and I thought it was really good. And I think it's quite difficult to add something like that, but again, Doctor Who and the writers did it so well, and the acting through that whole episode was so good, so good.
It really was. It showed Shuti and Varada as a powerhouse, you know. Even when they were animated, you could see and hear the emotion in their voices, and I loved that. Now, the next episode to talk about, we are two down from season two, two to go. This is The Well, probably the episode I think everybody most wants to talk about.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk about this one.
I very much think it's one of those episodes that has automatically become a fan favourite, one that everybody watches, and it just goes, if not to the very top of their list, right near the top.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree that it's their favourite episode so far.
I think you're right, they would. Now, let's get right in about it. What did you like about the episode?
Oh, I don't even know where to start. Bringing back such an iconic alien, because the Midnight Alien really is something that I think everyone talks about, everyone has been really scared about.
Yeah, they have. But what do you think it is that makes the entity scary? Because for me, I think it's the fact you can't see it and how it mimics you. That's what scares me.
Yeah. And the thought of something copying you, trying to become you, to learn about you, is extremely terrifying.
It is. It sort of plays on those base fears of what it means to be human and what it means to be you. And if someone could or something could become you. But it being such a creature that everybody knows about, bringing it back was always going to be tricky. What do you think of that decision?
Bringing it back was a really brave move because it's obviously such a popular episode, an iconic one.
Yeah, it is.
And they did it so well. This has been one of my favourite Doctor Who episodes.
What do you think made it feel like that for you? Because for me, it finally seemed like some of last season was a bit iffy, but this seemed like peak Doctor Who again. What do you think made it feel as good as it did watching for you?
Because they just, you could tell that they really thought of it so clearly and so well. No pun intended.
Now, obviously, since we last saw the Entity, he's become more violent, less mimicky, more, telekinetic. He does more stuff. He's definitely more murderous. The decision to have him killing by throwing people around was a bit of a weird one. It made sense, but what did you think of it?
I know some people weren't as keen on it, but I think it's really creative to have him, the way he kills people is by throwing them in the air. Because the way I've had it in my head is that obviously in the first time we saw him, he died from falling out of the train, and now he's killing people by throwing them and making them fall.
Oh my god, I hadn't actually thought of that. Perhaps if that's the memory he has of falling to his death, obviously the Entity didn't die, but that is a really good theory. If that was intentional, that is brilliant.
Obviously, I don't know if that was their intention, that's how I took it. And I thought that was amazing.
Almost as if it's a brilliant cinematic parallel.
Yeah, it really mirrored that really well.
Going into the episode, the trailer had lots of similarities to The Impossible Planet, The Satan Pit, sort of those base under siege type stories. I was expecting it to be a sequel to those. Were you expecting it to be a sequel to Midnight, or Where were you expecting it to be?
I did not see that coming. I did not think of Midnight coming back. And I think it was amazing. It was so scary as well, because it made you feel like you were actually imagining it every time you saw it.
Ah, yes, no. So that's a little thing they've added. Also, being able to see the Entity slightly. It happened so fast. I didn't really want them to give it a form, but the form they did give it, where you barely saw it, I think really worked.
Exactly, the first time, I didn't really, because it's so fast, I didn't even really see it, but I still got so scared when the first time we saw it. I think it was done so well that the filming and how they've decided to direct that was amazing, because us as the audience kind of made us feel, did we actually see something, though, especially the first time it happened?
Yeah, sort of setting in that paranoia mindset. But I really think as well, it was sold? No, that's not correct. It was sold to us by the cast being absolutely brilliant. For the third time, this series, phenomenal.
Yes, literally. I know I said earlier, but the acting from all of them was amazing. And the ending, oh, so spine-chilling. The fact that, she had committed suicide for nothing. The fact that Midnight is now out, could go anywhere at this point, is terrifying.
And obviously from that point onward, very open-ended episode. Where would you like it to go in future? Should it be revisited, do you think?
Well, I definitely hope we see it again. Maybe in a few seasons' time.
Would you like to know when it's going to happen, or?
Not at all. I want that shock again of it coming back.
Now, obviously, this episode was a sci-fi horror story, basically, at its core. What do you think was the scariest part or the saddest part? For me, it was when Alice thought she was going to be left behind and wouldn't get to see her child again, and the fear and sadness of a mother's love, you know, that fear of not being able to see your child again, tell them you love them. That really upset me. That got me right in my heart, in my chest. I felt sort of a lump. What parts for you made your heart sink?
When we thought it was behind Belinda, that was terrifying. My heart actually sank at that point. Again, I know I've already mentioned this, but the acting between Belinda and the Doctor was incredible. I was so invested in that.
It's something you could just sit and watch for hours. They seem to so organically get along and go together, and it just, nothing about them seems, you know, forced. So we've talked about good parts of the episode. Is there anything bad you can think of?
No, I thought the whole episode was so good. I have rewatched it quite a few times since the first time it came out, because it's just so,
yeah, no,
so
this well episode done. Has this felt season, very binge-worthy. Like, I could happily watch an episode, then rewatch it straight away again. They are just that good, that well-written. They flow beautifully. They are perfect. Okay, I'm going to give you a bit of a task now. Sum up the episode in one word and then give me a star rating.
Just amazing. 10 out of 10 from me.
Oh, there's just one more thing before we move on to the next episode. There's one more thing that we haven't talked about. Mrs. Flood in this episode appears at the end as the commander of the Planet Exploratory Group. This cameo, I didn't know what to think of it. How about you?
Her cameo confused me. She knew what a Vindicator was, but it didn't really give us many clues to her identity.
No, and again, it left us with quite a few questions, like, why is she turning up in these places?
Why is she time-travelling?
Yeah, no, no.
I need to know.
That's something we need to find out. It needs to be resolved, really. Now we are going to have a piece. Not one piece. We're going to have two pieces of music from Doctor Who before we go on to talk about episode 4, Lucky Day. are the two tracks you heard there, or two of the saddest tracks, I think, in Doctor Who, both of which are written and composed by Murray Gold. The first one was Valet de Chem, which is the 10th Doctor's final song, the goodbye to 10, if you will, which is sung by the Ood as he is going to regenerate his final song. That was in the Christmas episode, End of Time Part 2, before he regenerated into Matt Smith. And that was followed by the piece of music, The Singing Towers, from Doctor Who Series 9, the episode, The Husbands of River Song, in which the Doctor, being Peter Capaldi in that episode, takes River on what is their last date on the planet of Deryllium with its singing towers, which is the last time they see each other before the Forest of Dead / Silence in the Library episode where River dies. And at the end of that episode, this is the Doctor's first time meeting her, but her last time meeting the Doctor is very sad. And obviously, their time is never in chronological order. But she is able to convince the Doctor that he trusts her in his future by whispering his real name into his ear, which he later explains he would only divulge under very rare circumstances. Now, going from those two pieces of music, let's talk about Doctor Who Series 2, Episode 4, Lucky Day.
Hello?
A year ago, it marked its prey. Now, it's hunting you.
Not too scared and running.
Because it likes the taste.
There's something out there.
We're a team, like you and the Doctor.
What the hell is going on?
They're after you. Unless they're done tearing you to pieces, the Shriek could wipe out this entire village.
The teaser trailer there that gave absolutely nothing away about the episode at all and really tricked you into a false sense of security. Tash, what did you think of Lucky Day?
Oh my gosh, Lucky Day was such a good episode. I really liked the fact that we got to focus on Ruby and how she's doing, because as much as I love following the Doctor as a protagonist, I like to see how the companions doing. Like when we got to see like Martha, and when we got to see Rose, and what they've become after being with the Doctor, and what they've decided to do with their lives. I really like that.
Yeah, and it did it in a way that hasn't really been done before, I found. It sort of showed us the PTSD side of constantly thinking something's going to go wrong, thinking, is there going to be an alien invasion today? Am I going to be able to save the Earth? You know, I think that was a lovely, fresh take that I'd like to see more of, because although we see companions after the TARDIS, we don't see how the travels really affect them. But I think this episode worked really well. And in fact, it was a Dr. Light one. Was brilliant. I mean, focusing on Ruby, I loved. People last season complained she was the problem, which I don't think was a fair complaint. I'm glad this episode's hopefully proved them wrong. How did you feel about it focusing on Ruby?
So I really like the fact that we basically got a whole episode just focusing on Ruby. I was absolutely heartbroken when, obviously, I don't want to say like too many spoilers for people who haven't seen, but the big reveal that everyone who's watched it will know. Absolutely heartbroken for Ruby, because I was so rooting for them and him.
Yeah, and as the big reveal happened, it came as such a shock, because they were written so beautifully, and you believed in everything. At points it got a bit sickly sweet, but that was perfect. And obviously Jonathan Howard King has just been in The Little Mermaid playing Prince Eric, so it was lovely to see him in the Hooniverse.
Exactly, because
I love the actor. I love the actor, one of my favourite actors. So, you know, when you just kind of root for one of your favourite actors, it was kind of that. I wanted them to be kind of like the new Amy and Rory.
At points, it felt like they could have been, but then, obviously...
And then we got the reveal, and I was like, oh, no. I was very gutted about that, but in a good way, if you know what I mean. Like, I was gutted, but the writing was so good.
And the character of Conrad, he was quite a big part of this episode, obviously. Not giving away too many spoilers for those who haven't seen it. This one was only a week ago, so it's perfectly reasonable. Not everybody might be caught up, one of those two. Either way, do you think he could be a bigger part of the series arc? Do you think we'll see Conrad again?
I think we will see the return of him, because we saw the ending of Mrs. Flood being like, I'm the governor, and opening up.
Yeah, when she called herself the governor again, another cliffhanger ending from her. And the scene prior to it gave us, I think, some of the best writing the 15th Doctor has had. It was this scene just here.
In its hive.
No need to thank me.
You have to be invited into my TARDIS, Conrad, to be special. But you're special for all the wrong reasons. You see, I am fighting a battle on behalf of everyday people who just want to get through their day and feel safe and warm and fed. And then along comes this noise all day long, this relentless noise. Cowards like you, weaponizing lies, taking people's insecurity and fear and making it currency. You are exhausting. You stamp on the truth, choke our bandwidth and shred our patience, because the only strategy you have is to wear us down. But the thing is, Conrad, I have energy to burn and all the time in the universe.
What is this? An intervention? Are you here to save my soul?
You betrayed my friend.
You've had plenty of friends. Have you met Belinda Chandra yet?
Who? Do you want spoilers? I'll tell you your future. You die in a prison cell, boiling in anger and poison, until your heart packs in age 49, alone and unloved, forgotten. The world carries on, the world gets better. You aren't even a footnote, just ashes on the wind.
I don't accept your reality, Doctor. I reject it. So put me back in my prison and get off my world.
So there we saw Shooty's dark side as the Doctor, very similar in tone to David Tennant's Fury of a Time Lord scene from the Human Nature / Family of Blood two-parter. How did you feel about finally seeing some other characterization from Shooty. We've seen him quite happy. So how did seeing him mad, angry, make you feel?
I really, really like seeing 15's dark side, because I feel like we've often seen him either very happy or very sad. And I don't have a problem with seeing the Doctor cry. I know some people do. I personally don't. I think it makes sense with the storyline. I think Shooty, like, acts it so well. I generally don't have an issue with it. But it was cool to see an angry side and a dark side to him. The action was amazing.
A good change, then a change for the better, in your opinion?
Yeah, it was just nice to see a different type of vibe from that Doctor.
Exactly, and it's one I'd like to see again. I think it would be good to see again in this series, maybe.
I'd like to see it again in the finale.
Obviously, there was one big question from the start of this season answered. At the end of this episode.
On who told the Doctor about Belinda. Because in the first episode with her, he was like, someone told me about you, that we would meet. And was saying along those lines. So now we got that answer. And I'm like, yes. So that's one thing checked off.
It's good to have some closure on it. I think there are a couple of things last season that were left a bit too open. So it's good that Russell is tying up loose ends this time round. Now, we are going to have a piece of music now, which is going to be Time is Moving by Murray Gold from Doctor Who Series 6. And then we'll talk a little bit about questions we still have and hopes for the next 4 episodes. Time is Moving there from Doctor Who Series 6, a song I've chosen specifically because at odd points throughout Season 15, there have been lots of references, A, to the 11th Doctor's era, musically, where we've had Amy's theme and we've had some of I Am the Doctor. I don't know why that is. I'm hoping I'll be able to find out one day. I'm hoping I'll be able to talk to Murray Gold. We'll see how that goes. But that's something we'll come back to a later date. Now, we're going to talk about questions we still have from the series. First thing I want to ask you, Tash, is do you think Lux will be the last god we see? Or do you think there will be more to come if we get a season 3? Or maybe even in this season?
I don't think that Lux will be the last god that we see. I definitely think there's going to be more. I'm really hoping, really, really hoping that we see the Trickster at one point. I feel like something's leading up to it. Maybe another big, like, god in that. Because obviously, it was building up last season.
Yeah, when throughout the episodes there had been hints of the Trickster's theme used mainly in the mystery surrounding Ruby and in the Devil's Court episode, but then that wasn't the Trickster, was it?
No, because we got the big reveal, but we got another god. So I definitely think something's leading up.
The obvious big other question from this series and left over from last series, even since her first appearance, is who is Mrs. Flood? Now, I've got my opinions. I think, personally, she's a Time Lord. Whether she be one we know or one we don't, I think she definitely knows about the Doctor. Maybe she's Tech Tuan, or perhaps Rassilon. Who knows? But what do you think?
I've heard a lot of theories, some which I'm like, that's a possibility, and some but I'm like, that's a bit of a stretch. Honestly, I don't have a theory which I'm like, yes, 100%. I think the Master is always a good bet.
Okay, the Master, that's fair. I see the Master. I raise you classic Time Lord villain, the Rani.
Now, normally I wouldn't actually say the Rani, because normally when there's a mystery female character, people think, oh, it must be the Rani. However, this is a case which I'm actually thinking this is a high possibility.
So, buying into the Rani theory, what's making it more believable to you this time round?
So, I'm thinking it must be some kind of Time Lord. But I don't know, and I'm really looking forward to the reveal.
Okay, and in Lucky Day, it's the final looking ahead question, we heard that Mel was in Sydney, Australia, because there was something weird in the harbour. Now, we know that's probably going to link in to the Doctor Who spin-off, the war between land and sea, the first spin-off we have had since Class in 2017. Well, 2016, but there was still the audio series in 2017. What are you expecting to see?
Really hoping we get to see, like, different companions, like, coming back. Because I really like it when we get to see different characters and how they've, like, evolved from being with the Doctor, and that's my favourite thing. I'd like to see quite a few characters back as well.
Are there any specific characters or companions you'd like to see return, or are you just sitting here looking ahead, looking forward to it and thinking, yeah, no, whatever happens, it's going to be good?
I don't know. I'm just, obviously, I'm very excited for it. Anything, honestly. Anything I'm excited for. So, yeah, I'm very excited to start that.
And with that being our closing statement of today's show, I would like to say thank you very much to Natasha for joining me.
Thank you for having me again, and I will speak soon.
Yes, we shall speak very soon indeed, to give you a roundup of the next four episodes. And at the end of the season, we will see how Doctor Who looks. And hopefully we'll have some news about season 3/16. Goodbye, Natasha.
Bye.
And goodbye, you guys at home. I'm going to leave you with the teaser trailer for today's episode, The Story and the Engine. Bye!
Lagos, Nigeria.
I've been expecting you.
Wait, you're all missing.
It is always hungry. You must feed it.
Who are you? This is my domain.
Doctor!
What the hell is this?
The TARDIS Break is a podcast devised by Natasha Aspel and Rhys Humphreys. All clips used are used under fair use in the UK for use of reviews, with copyright on them held by the BBC.